Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hands up! Stop moving or I will shoot you.
Don't you have homework to do?
They found you cooking in his house.
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello. And welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 561. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. I think it's time for Plan B Dunaway.
Plan B is the best plan. Should have went with it first. Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hello, you have reached the home of Room Vroom Boom Boom, Black Car Goes Fast Incorporated, where we will get you from point A to point B as many as Bella. Whatever. Where we'll get you from point A to point B with as many butthole squeezing close calls as sphincters can handle. Seriously, if you have a sphincter issue, let me know now because there is a fee for cleanup. Now go ahead. I'm listening. Right? Yeah. Look, I'm not really taking jobs that involve shuttling rich kids from private school to mansions right now. A favor for our mutual friend, Tony. And your wife is unhappy and attractive? And there is a good chance we'll encounter a myriad of bad guy tropes ranging from inner city street types to shirtless Colombians and his equally scantily clad or scantily clad emotionally unstable henchman lady that has a licking fetish. And there may also be some Russian scientist with a virus and at least one shirt pocket bird and a Jamaica me crazy taxi driver. But he's not bad. Just a little high. Well, to be honest, I stopped listening at unhappy attractive wife. Randy, your death by rabbit tattoo is showing. Sexy. What are you going to do with that Heineken and honey in that fridge?
Oh, man. It doesn't even matter if you trip over your stuff. It's still the great interest. It's still amazing.
The best, yeah.
Still amazing. All right. Also with this, Randy, he can be the hands of hell. Trust her on this one, Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Yeah. And thanks for coming back to this second course on How to Win Fight. I'm the author of the book, How to Win Fight 2, The Second Win. And you are all apparently people who can't stay away from fights, even after moving from France to the USA and switching from your douchey Beamer to a, let's face it, a completely equally douchey Audi. Audi. You know, just saying it is douchey. Anyway, you're going to win every fight up to and including the boss fight you're working your way up to if you follow my three easy rules. Number one, always take off clothes. You have the body of a supermodel and you should show off your flat stomach while you're fighting. Number two, lick your opponent's face to show dominance. And if that doesn't work, use giant coconuts as boxing gloves. And if that doesn't work, handcuff people to other people. And if that doesn't work, say something clever and hit them in the testicles. Maybe, you know what? Maybe say the clever thing after the nut shot. Okay, so it's always lick the face first, say the clever thing last. Number three. If you spot something that might be a weapon you can use, you are required to first kick it up into the air and then snatch it out of the air and then use it as a weapon. With one exception, guys, If your improvised weapon is a replica human skeleton, you just grab that thing and swing it at him, right? Right? And then you both laugh at the funny sound, right, that it makes, because like it makes a sound like the bones are all rattling. And you look at each other and you wonder, why are we even fighting? We have so much in common, just as humans, and we have so little time on this precious planet. I love you too, bro.
Oh, lovely. That was a caffeinated intro. I like that one.
That
a lot.
Was great. Well, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. That was awesome.
Brought also, to you by Ziggy's Coffee.
That's right. Finally, Brian, you should see the shit. What? I wrote this wrong. I wrote this totally wrong. Let me go ahead and put a word in there that I missed. You should see the shit he can do with a fire hose, Ibbit.
Oh, that's so true. Totally true. Okay, guys, we've almost completed writing the action sequences for Transporter 2, and nobody is leaving this writer's room until we get this last scene figured out. I've ordered sandwiches. This could end up being a late night. All right, the setup is that the bad guys have strapped a bomb to the bottom of Frank's car, and Never Campbell is holding the detonator switch, so we need to figure out a way for Frank to either remove or disable the bomb. Gary, what have you got? He pulls over, gets out of the car, takes the bomb off by hand. All right. Are you in here by mistake? I think the writer's room for Baby's Day Out is next door. Go see if you can help them with the roller coaster scene. Louise, there really is a roller coaster scene. Louise, how about you? Okay, he drives his car through a hot dog food truck. Okay, I'm liking this. He's got meat stuck to the bottom of his car. Good, good. Ramp near a swamp. Okay, I see where this is going. He flies across the swamp. An alligator leaps out of the water, eats the meat off the bottom of the car, and pulls off the bomb, and then explodes as Frank drives safely away. Good, good. Except, the PETA folks. They're going to be up my butt for this. No, can't use it. Joe, how about you? Okay, he sees a half-eaten popsicle on the ground, so he drives over it. Yeah, Oh, and then an anthill. Okay, so the bottom of the car is all covered with ants. All right, keep going. The ants eat through the glue that's holding onto the bomb, and they all blow up as Frank drives safely away. Okay, look, guys, it's getting late. I've just been told the sandwich delivery guys in the elevator bring our food up, and at this point, I'm just going to go with whatever he comes up with, okay?
It was fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah. It was so good. Like, that was the thing where I, in that moment, I literally said out loud, oh, that's going to divide anybody who's watching this.
That's where you're either in or out. Yeah. Right. That's the door.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Two groups. This is like Leia flying back into the spaceship in The Last Jedi, you are either all in or you hate that.
Yeah. There's no middle ground. For crap like that. I think that this movie embraces that idea. So I think the first movie did kind of too with that stupid missile deflection thing.
Yeah. But it didn't wasn't included. Statham pulled it out. But then he said Statham loved this movie. This is going to be the point of contention today on FilmSec, by the way.
I think so, yeah.
So today,
let's talk about that.
We should probably put it out what the freaking movie is. This is the Transporter 2, the Jason Statham sequel follow-up thing. We already watched the
Transporter
first one.
Transporter 2.
It's already been established over the last couple of days that Dunaway and I kind of fundamentally disagree on which is the better film. I think none of the Transformers are great movies, but I think
They're not good either. Totally irrelevant, but yeah, they're not good either.
Yeah, they're not good either. Yeah, but
they're like either the Transformers movies
or the Transporter movies.
Porter is what I meant. anyway, Transporter
I think
1.
You meant a Transporter.
I think Transporter 1 is really bad, and I think this is better than that. And you know who agrees with me? Jason Mother Effin Statham. Who said in an interview this is his favorite of the movies? So take that, Brian Dunaway.
You mean that backpedaler? No thanks.
Oh, did he backpedal? What happened?
No. Well, he in the first one, he's all like, "No, that's too ridiculous. Me deflecting a missile with a tray. That's crazy." And then this one, he's like, "Sure, I can flip a car upside down and grab a bomb with a hook off of it. Sure, why not? That's a great movie.
Sure, one parking garage to another jump.
Yeah,
sure,
yeah,
I could
no problem.
Do that. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
This is, I mean, I just discount anything Jason Statham has to say because this is a movie where he got to make out with basically both Amber Valletta and Kate Nauda. And that's just like insane. It's insane.
Does making out with include just having your face licked?
Yes. Yes.
Laboriously.
No. And
that was involuntary makeout.
I don't think it counts.
As making out.
Yeah, it's got to be. He didn't volunteer. He didn't ask
for
it.
Then I've made out with all my dogs.
He has two prestige fight scenes with Kate Nauda. And in both of them, they are all over each other. It is like slightly clothed sex in the movies. Like they're just, man, they get most of the clothes off and then they just rub up against each other all the time.
There is a lot of that going on. You're right. But she's, she's suitably crazy. She reminds me, I don't know what this trope is. I'll play the thing. There's a trope of like the Beverly Hills Cop 2 thing with Brigitte Nielsen. Yeah. And she's like, oh, she kind of a psycho, short haired blonde bombshell who's really crazy and will shoot everybody. I don't know what that is or if there's a thing, but I feel like I see this all the time.
Oh, there's definitely a trope. Yeah. It's
James Bond movies do this, right? Like a lot of James Bond.
Stuff. Grace Jones. There's the two acrobatic.
Right.
It has to be. What are their names? Like Kitten and Purr or something like that.
We have to separate. Remember, we're coming from a time. I don't even know if we can even do it now in the United States. I don't know if you can have a man beat up a woman. So it always has to be. This is not a proper woman. This is a hysterical, crazy woman. So you can beat her up.
Yeah,
I think that's what we're going for.
Maybe that's the boss's idea, right? He gets the henchman. Right. He's like, "Well, I'll just get a crazy woman because no way will Frank want to hit a woman." So, right, got that advantage right there.
Yeah,
yeah. So it goes back to our hysterical crazy woman slapping is okay cinema, right?
Mm-hmm. She's got a bunch of tropes on the TV tropes page. Like Lola is the character, and like she's psycho for hire. She's the trope called stripperific. She's the trope called wife foo, which is wife foo, which is where so that's where you fight the skinny woman that you're you want to get it on with.
Yeah.
But the one that blows my mind is the Ms. Fanservice trope. Like Ms. Fanservice trope comes across for Lola in like 8 different ways. There's gun porn, there's shameless fanservice girl, there's excessive evil eyeshadow, there's intimate marks on her inner thigh, there's combat stilettos. Combat stilettos is a trope. There's the lingerie scene trope. They said it's more than one scene in this movie.
Wow, she is. I'm going to say she's got all the tropes in this
movie. Yeah, there's sexy coat flashing. There's hospital hottie.
they really got her nailed into all this stuff. The thing that's interesting about the movie is I have a weird memory of it because I saw 2 back when it came out. I saw it in theaters. I think I saw it before 1, weirdly. I don't remember why. But I saw it in theaters and then 1 later on DVD or something. And then I remember, I thought at the end, her death was super bloody on that thing with all the impaling spikes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't at all. This is like a PG-13 movie that probably should have been R.
I remember this being rated R. Are we seeing an edited version?
I don't know. That's what
I
wondered.
This is the first time I've ever seen this film. So there's nothing for me to compare it to.
Yeah.
Right. On IMDb, if you click on certificate to see all the different certificates it got around the world, it starts out saying R on the main IMDb page. You click on certificate and the letter R is right there. Yeah. And then you click into it and it comes and immediately says rated PG-13. Wait, what?
Yeah.
What which is it?
There's trivia there too that says the movie was supposed to be, or they really wanted it to be rated R, and then they, you know, the studios pressured, like the old story always goes.
We really wanted to be rated R. Please.
But there were lots of scenes like that where I could tell there were cuts and there were stuff where I'm like, yeah, normally you would have had some blood there, or you would have had this thing happen here. And I don't know.
In order to play it is the crazies as crazy as they were supposed to be, you would have to have it be R, really. I mean, but that's what we get. We kind of get like a sanitized version of incredibly crazy. I don't know.
Here's some funny thing. There are some cut versions of this movie. There's an Ontario cut. Did you know that Ontario does this?
No.
There's an Ontario cut that got it to PG. There's a Singapore cut that got it to PG. And I find that interesting because Germany goes the other way. Germany has a director's cut that is rated 16 and over. So you have to, you know, you have to be an adult, basically.
When I got my circumcision, it was the Singapore cut I required.
That's a hard one to sew up.
I was about to say, is that?
I just love that there's like, you know, the, you know, the.
Like a mullet?
The Liechtenstein cut. There's the.
Wait, I'm sure that in
Vatican City cut, 2005
was a year when I saw every new movie at the theater, and I'm sure I saw the rated R version of this.
Yeah, and I feel
what
like
we
it
just
too.
Watched on HBO was PG-13.
Yeah, for sure. This was way watered down in all respects, but I just remember it being more brutal. So I either my memory is really false, or
I've seen before as well, and I remember it being about like this. So maybe I saw it on TV or something, or maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. It's a mystery because there's not a lot of info about that change, if there was one. They don't.
Actually, I just found it. So the version we saw has been edited for violence. This was at the filmmaker's request. So it's been after it came out and it was rated R, they went back and edited for violence.
I made a horrible mistake.
So apparently the scene where Frank fights with an iron bar used to have a lot more digitally added blood. Blood splatters and stuff.
Sure.
And then apparently they removed some shots of Kate Nauta's naked butt, and they digitally blurred. I hate this so much. They digitally blurred her nipples that you could see through her bra.
Really?
Oh yeah.
It was getting soaked.
I was wondering why I couldn't. I kept trying to sharpen it, and it just wouldn't happen. So
enhance, zoom, enhance. Damn it.
There's a whole like if you do a search for the movie, just standard images searches. She's nipply all the time. And so I think
she's nipple all the time.
I was like, wait a minute, am I even watching the same movie?
So they seems like it's way easier to blur a an image on the web over a film.
Yeah. I want to hurry up and get to the Ibit complaint here. I think I like watching this with my kid, who is 12. I was not at all concerned about anything that he was seeing, as much as the car flip that removes the bomb being so unrealistic. I was just like, I just pause the movie. I'm like, so son, I just want to make sure you understand this is make-believe.
Right.
This is like this, the gore. I don't care about the gore. We need to talk about.
I don't need you to be trying to, I don't need to be trying this in real life. All right. Just don't.
Exactly.
Yeah. That was kind of too magical even for my taste. I mean, I like when they go a little over the top with the stunts, but that was like, okay. Really?
Yeah.
Like if you're, and they did it early. I was like, you're going to have to top that. You're going to have to do other things in this movie that make me forget how ridiculous that was. And they never really did, you know, like him jumping between two cars, somewhat believable. Other things he did.
You can find stunt people on YouTube doing that stunt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But him doing, you know, him dissecting a tiny little car device that he didn't even know was there, or he didn't know the location of.
He didn't know the precise location, which is what makes it so ridiculous. Yeah. Like,
well, and also, it would have been better for me if they'd done that. Okay, you're gonna do a barrel roll in a car. That's possible, right? You're gonna hit the hook and it's gonna pull stuff off. That's also possible. But they should have had it rip the transmission off too. And then the car kind of lands really badly, and he has to get out and stagger away. Like that
would have been awesome.
Yeah, that would have been okay, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah. It would have been more okay than what he did. But I also, at the same time, it's just like, this is like one of those weird Bollywood movies you hear about where their action movies over there were ridiculous. So I kind of liked it on that level. I was just like, all right, that's fine. But everything else, like, I just think this actual stunt work, like fist-to-fist fighting stuff, was so much better than the first movie. Like, infinitely better. And I don't know why. I don't know what changed. You get a better choreographer or something? I don't know.
Yeah, that's possible. Maybe the fight work was more believable to you. I like the fight work in the first one.
Yeah, I feel like the first one. Yeah, the first one sets the stage and kind of gives you an idea of what he can do. Mm-hmm. And then this is just more of that. So I felt like the first one was more revelatory, right? Mm-hmm. My very first note is the reason why I don't like this as much as the first one. And my very first note is, what the hell are they doing with the color palette of this movie?
It's in Miami, but it's so muted.
When it started, I was mad at the color palette of the movie. I never really got over it because they stick with it the whole movie.
Yeah.
Your eyes slowly adjust to everything being yellow and blue.
Yeah. And we were doing that in 2005. That was pretty common. We went through a period during the early 2000s.
We were doing it with movies?
Yeah, we were. There was...
The actual
during the early 2000s, we were doing some really weird color palette choices. I don't know what it was all about, but
they go out of their way on the yellow and blues too. They don't just like filter and change the the colors themselves, but like the cars that aren't black and white are yellow cabs and a yellow Porsche, and he jumps on a freaking Wave Runner and the Wave Runner is yellow. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Why did the bikini lady have to even ride with him at all? I get it. You know, let's ramp it up one more notch, suppose.
I do like how he flips her over like a Cirque du Soleil move. Yeah.
This director, Louis Leterrier, he made the first one and this one. Didn't do three. Yeah. I didn't know he was making Fast X, or Fast 10, the final Fast and the Furious movie that comes out next year.
And that makes sense, because this felt like a Fast and the Furious movie to me, with those just over-the-top kind of things.
I guess if you give him the money and the effects budget, he'll be able to take some of that and parlay it into something even bigger and louder. I don't know. It seems like a weird pick, because you got Justin Lin, you got all these other great directors who've done that series. I just don't know why you'd go with the transporter guy, but that's fine.
Yeah, because he's had a tremendous career. Leterrier is not even 50 yet, and he has just had a tremendous career. He got so overlooked for The Incredible Hulk, and that movie is one of the best.
I enjoyed that movie. I don't think I can call it one of the best, but I liked it. I thought the Hulk was good. But he hasn't done much since. Like, he did a bunch of TV, did that Dark Crystal, directed 10 episodes of that Dark Crystal Age of Renaissance, which we loved, or Resistance, rather.
Yeah.
Fantastic series. Then some of that Lupin show, the French thing, and then The Takedown. I don't know what that even is. But he hasn't done a lot.
You don't know Takedown?
No, I don't know what The Takedown is.
I thought we did that here.
Did we?
Yeah, that's.
I thought we did that.
Feels like it. Yeah.
No. This is a brand new buddy comedy action movie.
Yeah, but it's like it's in French. I don't watch these unless someone really recommends it.
You don't watch them in French.
They'd have to really recommend it highly for me to watch a French movie. And is that
right? Get right on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Get on that. I don't know. And that didn't review very well. So, yeah, I don't know if he's had a tremendous career or not. I'm just going to argue that point.
He's done a lot of things.
Yeah.
I think he's for his age, it's just remarkable. And I honestly think that, like, Transporter 2 is good for what it is. I'm with Dunaway that the first one was a little better, but only because Transporter 2, it like has to do wacky stuff every now and then, and it kind of made me mad, you know?
Yeah.
But it's a fun movie.
It really depends on what your definition of better film. If it's basically saying, okay, I know what this film is, I know what to expect from it, then I would say 2 is a better film, because it gives you more over the top stuff that you're expecting from a film like this than 1 did.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, 2 for me is better. But if it's like, well, no, purely basing it on a like plot, story, believability, physics, that sort of thing, then. God,
it's you want some believability in your film, do you? No, ridiculous.
They both score like a 1 on that scale. Right. But
It's also a bit of a ripoff. Mission Impossible 2, which was some years later, some years earlier, rather, 2000 as opposed to 2005. The plots are identical. There's a whole thing that involves an engineered virus. In the film, Frank learns Gianni has Jack injected with the engineered virus, and he's using him as a weapon to assassinate his father. Yeah. All that stuff ripped right from freaking Mission Impossible 2. They just freaking stole the whole thing.
Yeah, we were going through that. Everything was a virus for a while. Yeah, they're not doing that much right now. Because
no, a little bit less right now.
No, once we started like living it, it became less of a popular.
Nah, you know what's more fun? Terrorist attacks. Perfect. Yeah,
let's get into that. Oh, shoot. Now there's a new terrorist attack. Well, shit. Let's go back to what's the problem now. Like, no. Oh, right. I know.
School shootings. Perfect. That's,
sure. Let's do those. Yeah.
That's very light.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody's dealing with those. Yeah, right. we're running out of bad tropey ideas that aren't happening in real life.
We keep getting ideas. The bad guys in real life keep getting ideas.
To me, the most unrealistic thing about the sidekick killer lady, half naked running around doing stuff, was how she never ran out of bullets ever. That she was an unending supply. She had no clothes. Where she had nowhere to store that ammo.
No pockets.
Yeah, nowhere to keep it. Either that stuff's magical or other bad ideas. I don't know, but she had never ran out of bullets, that lady.
they did go out of their way in one shot to have her have extra magazines on her belt.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she slow-mo drops the magazines and then reaches back and like loads in a supernatural way. She loads those guns.
Yeah.
It was
like a video game.
It was disgusting. It was, I was like, you know, again, it made me mad, but like, I was still entertained. Like, oh, okay.
No, I had a good time.
Were you entertained when they spent a good half of the movie's budget on an elevator door ring that then disrupted the air? And I'm like, what the hell is going on right now?
Special effect of like the ripples, the sound waves traveling. Yeah. I mean, the kid seems to be watching like, wait a minute, we've got some so weird superpower going on here?
What? Yeah.
And like, they never did anything like that again.
No. When did the Flash get here? What's going on, right? Quicksilver's here. What's going on? Why is something weird going on suddenly?
That was weird. Is that a thing? Do they leave tracers or something? That kind of gun? I don't know.
Well, they did show some
kind of gun, right? Yeah. So it's like she has these Glock 17s that have these huge suppressors on them, make them look like big guns, and they've been converted to full auto, which is like freaking weird.
Yeah,
but it's just the ammo. Like there's tracer ammo in those magazines.
Okay, so when they leave that little trail, that little stingy trail, that's real. I mean, that's based on a real thing.
There's tracer bullets. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know if they were in here, but they were. Yeah,
because it looked like little almost like taser wires. You know,
And to be really, really, really clear about movie making, you never see people shooting tracer rounds in movies. That is always a digital effect that's added later. No one would ever give live ammunition to this tiny woman.
I will say I think she for all the tropes that it may be, she did a real, I thought she did a great job. She was suitably crazy
for that. Yes.
Yeah,
I think she did a great job.
When they first invade the doctor's office, man, I was just grinning ear to ear. Like, she's got those two big henchmen with her, right? And they're going to pretend to be doctors now. Mm-hmm. And, like, that whole scene felt so right to me.
They were really
so
ill.
So was she more clumped?
Yes, I am doctor. Sorry, your real doctor not here. I am good new doctor for you. Let's go.
Yeah,
I know the fact totally that believable. He kept looking suspicious, but not suspicious enough. Freaking turn around and get out of there, dude. Take the kid,
exactly,
and leave. Yeah. Also,
I can't understand. Was she supposed to be like so this is supposed to be an international cartel or drug ring of bad people? And I kept trying. That's one of the things that bothered me about this film. I'm like, oh, would you stop dumping all these tropes in my face? I couldn't figure out. Was she supposed to be Russian? Or was she like some kind of gun for hire Swedish? Was she also Colombian?
She's not anything. American. She's American.
I think she was just American crazy. No accent or anything like that. I think.
But the Colombian dude, who is just, I swear he's made of plastic or something. There's something about that guy that is just like,
he was chewing up the scenery though. I loved it. He was definitely.
I enjoyed him.
You know, when he was on screen, you're like,
Every camera shot was taken just slightly above his head. He would tilt down and look past his eyes in an evil way. Yeah. That was his standard face. That's great. Go ahead and cheese it up. It's no problem. I like those kind of villains.
And so, like, I also appreciated that even though we moved from France to Florida and and we changed a lot of the surrounding
Canada,
characters,
though,
right? Like the characters are now like Matthew Modine. He's not going to, you know, he's not going to seem exotic at all. Keith David doesn't seem exotic at all. But I appreciate that they still made sure that the big boss at the end is, you know, Alessandro Gossman. They didn't go wholly U.S. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
they still brought Inspector Tarconi over the ocean and stuck him in this movie for no reason.
So the Dimitri guy, he's the one that was all, I'm the doctor, that guy, right?
Yeah, Jason Fleming. He's just an English bloke. Like, I don't understand.
Oh, really? Just such a great Russian accent. Oh my
he
God.
Was great, dude. He was,
and he's been in all these movies. He was in Lock, Stock, Two Smoking Barrels, right? Like, he's just this guy. I thought it was very funny.
I like that guy a lot. When he gets the pocket bird, great.
The pocket bird is, I really laughed. That was good.
I thought that was funny. I would watch him pocket bird again. And I kind of also liked how he was panicking, thought he had the virus the whole time. All that stuff
that was
just
good.
Yeah, came off as pretty fun part of the plot.
He sweats really good.
Oh, he's a big sweater. And you could tell that dude reeks, right?
Yeah,
can't get within like 10 feet of him without smelling like borscht.
I want to make you guys guess without looking it up. If you already have, you don't get to play. I want you to guess what were the previous two movies that we've seen Matthew Modine in on FilmSack.
Oh Lord.
Oh.
Oh geez.
I can't think of any.
Hold on.
Did anybody else hate him?
Oh, duh. Full Metal Jacket, no. Of course.
Oh, right.
He's the reporter guy. The
reporter, yep.
How about
Private Joker?
Did we ever see... Oh, Cutthroat Island was... Did we see that?
That was the other film.
Oh, well done, Scott. Holy Scott.
Is that right? Nice pull. Yeah, that is right. He's the main boy guy, man.
You know what I'm talking about. Yeah.
He's having a moment with a Stranger Things business.
Yeah, really is. Papa.
Yeah, and he's in
I just hated him. I hated him in this movie. Papa. I know you're supposed to.
Oh, I hate him in every movie. I think it's his job.
I didn't like how the movie manipulates you. This movie... So Luc Besson is great, right? He's great.
Yeah.
But he doesn't know how to tell a story where men and women are kind of horny for each other. Mm-hmm. He just doesn't get it. Like, he's just like, he walks up to the edge of something and then he's like, and now I'm going to have Bruce Willis and Lilo Dallas multipass kiss. And that's it. That's the end. Bye.
Yeah.
I actually like that because I think deep romance and quick romance in action films are kind of a little bit disruptive. I like my hero having like,
yes, but there's so much substance here, and this is like we were talking about this before the show, so I just want to get to what was missing from this movie. What was like so terribly void in this movie was the idea that Audrey and Jefferson, I love that Matthew Modine's name is Jefferson.
Jefferson, yeah.
Audrey Billings. And Jefferson are freaking married. They have a kid. They have a relationship that goes back years. And here comes Frank Martin, and she's miserable. She hates her husband, kind of. Not entirely, but kind of. And she goes to Frank seeking some kind of solace, seeking something. She has needs. This movie can't just say, you know what? Let's also tell that story. Let's tell the story. Give me the thing. Instead, it's like, no, we're just going to get there. We're going to show it to you a little bit. And then later we're going to go to see them in the hospital. And and Frank realizes right in the hospital,
that
he looks in
together.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And so he just like puts down the flowers and walks away. That is so freaking profound without having any substance.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I love it because unlike this one starts off with like, hey, we're not even going to talk about the ending of Transporter One and that relationship and why the hell he's in America now. And who is Tony that he's doing this favor for? We're not going to say 10 years later or nothing else. We're just going to suddenly just drop you into a different story in a setting. Good luck.
Same with Three. I think Three's like that.
So, but and you're right there. And again, we could have had Frank be broken over something that happened that made him move, right? That made him leave whatever was going on in France.
Yeah.
And he left that pleasure island and came here. I'm like,
well, plus, the movie starts.
His role is so weird here, though. Like, and you've all alluded to it, but this idea that's like in the first movie, he's the one that's suspicious of the activity and he's going to suss this out and figure it out. And the relationship with Statham is all about him not really sure what he's up to, and then all of that doing police work. And this one, he really was kind of useless. Like
he's Oracle food. From Birds of Prey, yeah. Basically. He gets to work the computer back at the home office and help Frank from a distance.
He's not even known for being good at computers. Yeah. He's like really good at computers.
Yes, so like, apparently.
Okay. Dude, yeah. just on vacation.
And once again, you brought him all the way to Florida. You have him say, oh, the beach. I want to go to the beach. And then you don't take him to the beach? Yeah. Are you kidding?
Yeah. Well, maybe he eventually went to the beach. We just didn't
Was he being it. Snarky, too? I couldn't tell if he was being snarky about the beach. Oh, yeah, I really want to go to the beach.
Well, maybe he
like he genuinely wanted to go to the beach.
Okay. Oh, right. I couldn't tell.
And he's the only actor that besides Statham that shows up. Well, no, I think he's the only actor that shows up in all four movies because the fourth one's not Statham.
So he's our Burt Gummer, right?
Yeah. He's in all of them. So I can't, don't blame the guy for going there for a paycheck. Do what you got to do.
Where does, I guess I should just wait until we watch it, but where does the next one take place?
I don't know. I've never seen
it. It's going to be filmed in Canada regardless.
Yeah.
It's wherever it's supposed to take place.
This was 87 minutes long, guys. And I,
thank God.
But so many times we've watched a 2-hour long movie and say that was a little much. Yeah. I could have just used 5 more minutes on some of these characters. Like just 5 more minutes of this movie to develop that Matthew Modine and his wife Audrey kind of reconnect somehow, you know, just give me something.
Maybe a longer hose fight. I thought the hose fight was badass and I couldn't.
I did like the hose fight because I'm telling you, I can, some things you can visualize, like I can't visualize if it actually hurt being hit by one of those doctor office skeletons. I'm imagining probably not, but one of those hoses, man, I can guarantee you every one of those blows is a death blow. That is, you're dead. You just got hit in the head with that. You're dead.
It's true, don't, but it was up. A very, without comedy, it was kind of Jackie Chan, that scene.
It was very Jackie Chan.
Yeah. And then also the one where he's jumping with around death. The pipes and stuff. Yeah. With death. But the way these guys are getting pulled around, like there's an anaconda in there or whatever. I really enjoyed all that. Yeah. I thought it was just fun.
Was really good.
It was. Yeah. And it's such a great, like, as you're filming, you're thinking, all right, now I got to show a scene of the hose filling up. Now I got to show a scene of a guy getting pulled into the wall. Now I got to show a scene of the hose filling up. Now I got to, you know, it just back and forth. I watched that scene again this morning and was just loved it.
It's fun.
Did the Asian fighters only come out at certain points? It was kind of weird for me. It's like we had this international group of people, and it's like, oh, here comes the fighters. Are those Asian people? They kind of look Asian. I can't tell. Martial arts. I don't know. I think so.
I don't know. They just kept. I mean, that's they were. I don't know what this trope is, but they were just coming out of the woodwork. It's like, oh, new wave. It's wave-based combat, really, is what it was.
Right. They would have had more, but they ran out of weapons. It's like, okay, axe, lead pipe, chains, sword, knives. Yeah. Okay.
All right, everybody, give me your favorite. Give me your favorite motif in a fight in this movie, because there's like 117 different fighting motifs.
Well, I already said it. The hose thing's mine.
Yeah, I think the hose is what.
The hose thing. For me, it's the handcuffs. The handcuff maneuvers were... I was chef's kiss on that, because it's late in the movie. You're tired of all of these things. And suddenly here's a new maneuver that you haven't seen yet. Here we go.
Yeah.
He's definitely got a move. He beat up a lot of agents in this film. He's definitely got a move.
Yeah. Him and the pipe was good. The fight with the really big guy with the SUV crush, that whole thing
where he
the fight in the hangar, airplane. Right?
Oh yeah, that one in the hangar is the one I'm thinking of, where he's
boat though.
No,
oh, it is a boat. That's right.
They end
it
up
is
in a boat that falls down,
and then he pokes a hole through it, shoves the guy through, and then
he can't remember. It's like it's so freaking crazy.
Oh right, that's right.
I did like that look though. I did like the look on his face. It's like,
no, tipping over slowly. I can't do anything about it.
That guy made the funniest sound in the movie. I recorded it, and you'll hear it later. But he made the weirdest, funniest, goofball little noise when
I made a note of it. It was I'm glad you got it.
Also, here's a question for you. Why wouldn't Statham? So he burger tosses that girl on the jet ski over his head.
Yeah, that was fun.
Why didn't he just throw her off the thing so she's safe? She's got a preserver. Just get her out of this mess, you know?
Yeah.
That was really
weird. Poor boyfriend's freaking out. I mean, why make everybody suffer?
Yeah.
Right.
I don't know.
But it's part of it is, I don't know, this movie likes to put people in unnecessary peril. And then
You like it better.
I do like it better than one.
And that's fine.
It's way better than one.
It is fine for Scott to like it better. Totally, it's not fine for Scott to say, it's better than one.
It's better
than
one.
Fact.
It is better than one.
It's not better than one. You like it better than one.
I'm going to tell you.
That's fine. Well,
okay, you tell me why you think this is better or one is better. Give me just one. Give me the simple 1-2 on that. What's the deal?
Oh, well, I mean, first of all, I don't have to suspend my disbelief quite as hard, and I've got to do it hard in the second one. Yeah, and I like suspending my disbelief, but dadgum.
Yeah.
You're asking a lot. You took. I was wore out by the end of this movie going, whew.
Here's my answer. The first one doesn't have a kingpin training against his mooks, and they all shove their spears into his face.
Oh, right.
He's
ducked out of the way when they,
I was like, no, that was like, in that moment, I was like, nothing in the first movie was as dumb as what I just saw right now.
I can't say this movie wasn't more fun. If you were to say, two is more fun.
I think it's more fun. Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I think that's all I'm saying. I'm not going to say, like, from a technical standpoint, better fight, better choreography,
way better, like, frank relationships. Like, I never bought any of his relationships in the first movie, but in this one, I think he really actually cares for that kid. I felt something between Frank and the kid in this movie that I never felt in the first one.
Yeah, it's there was more, I don't know, some of that stuff felt more genuine, but also just also kind of a bummer. It's like he's leaving and he's almost like Bill Bixby. He's got to get back on the road and can't really.
So the sad Hulk music.
Yeah. Plays him off. I want you to add that.
All he could do is look in the window and say potato and then walk away. It was just kind of.
Potato. That potato scene just cracked me up.
So those are the things, as cheese ball and dumb as they were, actually made me enjoy it more, because it was just bald faced dumb. The whole thing was just like,
Scott,
hey, here's
a
dumb.
You need to make a comic series called Cheese Ball and Dumb.
Cheese Ball and Dumb, yeah.
Cheese Ball and Dumb. He's adventures. A cop on the edge. Yeah. He's a
he's a little Cheeto. Kid that should be at home doing his homework.
No, you gave Brian got the cop on the edge. His name is Dumb. That surprised me. I thought you'd go the other way.
No, Cheese Ball is actually a literal ball of cheese.
Oh, okay. Fantastic.
Harry Dumb, Private Eye.
It's a comic strip, Scott. Come on.
All right. Let me get on that. I got all the time in the world. Let's get this done.
Bumbleclat Man. Is he going to be there?
There you go. Yeah.
The Bumbleclat Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember him.
Speaking of cheese ball and dumb.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were going to do the safe transition. I just can't stop thinking about the local cops that capture our Frenchmen. I just can't stop thinking about them.
Oh, those guys are great. Yeah. I don't know why they had to be such hayseeds. That was weird, because they're just Miami PD.
That was rough. That was a rough ride.
Yeah, but I enjoyed it. Like that line at the top of the show.
Oh yeah,
was one of them going?
You're making me a sandwich.
nothing can convince somebody of how much you hate a sandwich than peeling back the top layer of bread.
Yeah,
it's like when you peel that top layer of bread back, you might as well be saying, "I'm not eating this."
Yeah, well, exactly. That's too funny. I thought the exact same thing when I was watching.
But they found you cooking in his house.
See, I did do hard and dirty.
In his house. Hee-haw.
That stuff was pretty cheesy. So this thing didn't. The first movie didn't make a lot of money in the theater.
Yeah,
we talked about this at the time, but it did really well on DVD. So it's the only reason this thing got made. They were not going to make a sequel, according to all the trivia I could find, to The Transporter 2002. But because of strong DVD sales, they're like, yeah, let's do it again. And this one did quite well in theaters. I wonder what the difference was. Probably Statham was on the rise. What else? That's probably it.
I think that the level of distribution was probably a lot different, too. Because the first one, I don't think it went to a lot of theaters, right? I mean, they just didn't have the faith in the product, and a lot of times that'll determine how much money you make off.
Yeah, and how much you spend for marketing and interview junkets and all that.
Well,
there's also a sequel effect where who knows what a movie called The Transporter is about, right?
Right.
And then you know, like now everybody knows what it's about. So you make a sequel and everybody knows. So they, you know, more people are going to be likely to go see it at first.
What if it was a Star Trek? It could be a Star Trek movie. The Transporter, you know?
Exactly. Oh, yes. Yes.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. It could be like the early, it's like a prequel when they first figure that technology out and they send a.
Right.
Remember when
keep
Bones.
Keep losing people in the pattern buffer.
Yeah, the pattern buffer. They'd be just pieces of meat like they were in the motion picture. They could have the whole plot. Oh, man, that'd be amazing. Let's do it. Yeah.
Let's see that.
Let's get right into
it. So, what was up with the Heineken and the honey? I was going to say Heineken, then I was going to say the Heine, some abbreviation.
See, you mentioned that in your intro, and I guess I missed it. But was there somebody's fridge just had Heineken?
Yeah. He got home, opened the fridge. I knew Randy would catch it. He opened the fridge, and the only thing that's in there is the Heineken beers and one of those bear honeys. You know what I'm talking about? The little bear-shaped honey things.
Which makes no sense, because that would just become a solid rock. If you put
you shouldn't put it in the fridge, it doesn't spoil.
You don't have to put it. You can sit out on your countertop.
So you're saying the implication is that's all he ate. Like he drinks beer and he eats honey.
I don't know what statement it was.
Okay,
but I wanted to know.
Well, that's where I guess that's the question. What do you think it would mean? Like
I have no idea. But there was a person that was responsible for that whole scene. There was nobody else on set when they filmed that shot, and those people decided. That was what they were putting in the
It means it's why. A combination. It's a combination of meaning that he's an alcoholic, and they wanted to hint that, and then he also has a horrible diet, and he ordered
pizza with extra olives and extra anchovies, which we never got closure on, and I was kind of disappointed.
Honey on everything.
Yeah.
Ooh, extra anchovies is a mistake. I'm sorry. It just is.
Oh, what? What are you saying?
Extra anchovies? I don't mind a little anchovy on a pizza, but extra? Come on now. Let's back off that.
Oh, I don't know, man.
That's bad.
Yeah, usually the amount of anchovies they put on a pizza is the right amount of anchovies to put on a pizza.
Yes, but not if it's more than that, you know? Like if you say to them, "Hey, can you double that?" you're asking for the worst fish night of your life. It's going to be a bad
night. Right. Well, maybe that was the real reason why he didn't hook up with wifey.
I have triple the sodium on my pizza. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but also think of all the good fish oil you're getting, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You got to look at it positively.
Mercury.
That was his cheat day. Maybe that's the reason why, Randy. Maybe that's the reason why he didn't hook up with the wife. It was his cheat day.
His cheat day meant the fridge was full of those things? That's great.
Well, it was his cheat day. He was getting extra olives, extra anchovies on his pizza. Oh, he was drinking a Heineken. He's got to stay in shape. He's the transporter.
He's the transporter.
You got to be. Yeah. So
he's Shaw or Hobbs or one of them. I don't know which one.
Yeah.
Which is he, Hobbs or Shaw? I don't know. In the Fast and the Furious stuff.
Hobbs?
Is he Shaw?
He's Shaw.
Is he Shaw? Okay. Hobbs.
Nobody knows. That's one of the best parts of that film is that nobody knows who's Hobbs or who's, even the characters don't know.
I still haven't seen that.
You need to see it. You need to see it. I'm not kidding. That movie has the trope of we go home and enlist all the old neighborhood to help us fight the bad guys. Mm. And home is the island of Samoa. I'm not kidding.
Wow.
I'm not making this up. Okay. You will not believe me. That they're going to go home to Samoa. They're going to take Jason Statham to Samoa.
Yeah.
But that's what they do.
But he's there with the rocks. That's okay. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It all works out.
Be worse.
I don't know, but I sure like those Girl Scout cookies.
Nice. So these movies are destroyed. John Wick has ruined these, right? We're done with all these because John Wick made all this better.
I think he pretty much makes this better. I agree.
I don't think the only unfortunate effect of that is all these kinds of movies from here forward are all going to be John Wick-y like.
Yeah.
And Wiki. Okay in some case. Like, I really like Nobody, the Odenkirk thing.
Yeah, that was great.
But it was clearly that thing was.
Go update some.
Boy, that movie will give you a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, well. Too soon. And they're making another one, I guess. It's in the talks and works and stuff. I would be totally into it.
Let's make predictions right now what the title of the Nobody sequel is going to be.
Oh my god.
I'll say Nobody Else.
Somebody.
Oh, okay. Somebody. That's a good guess. All right.
Nobody. Randy Scott. Nobody. You said nobody else. Nobody. Oh shit.
I mean, you could just go Nobody Too, but.
Well, that's boring.
Nobody as well.
Nobody as well.
Nobody either.
Nobody also.
It's even better.
I don't know. Nobody. Oh, I really want to know what they're going to do now. This is super because you put yourself in a corner a little bit with this title.
Here's what you do. Yeah. Here's what you do. You go to space.
Nobody in space.
Okay. Yeah. Nobody in space can hear you scream or whatever.
Nobody can hear you scream. Yeah.
Aliens. Yeah. You have aliens arrive.
Sure.
And fight them.
Sure. Why not? I think that's a terrible idea and they better not do that. But I really liked that first movie. And so I guess what I'm saying is that's the John Wick template and everything seems to have it since then when it comes to these kind of revenge super soldier. This guy's, used to be this big Secret Service guy, but now he's just driving the car around. Like transport would be very different today, I think, if they did new ones. And I wouldn't mind them taking a crack at it. Like Transporter Reborn, get Statham again. He's a little older, a little wiser.
He's training his son to do what he does.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Sure. Good and horrible.
Let's put every trope we can think of. Let's go.
We practically did in this one, so why not?
He's coming out of retirement for one last job.
Yeah.
training Shia LaBeouf.
Somebody killed his dog.
Yeah, someone killed his dog. Use that. That's fine. Yep. Didn't they kind of
someone kills the Frenchman, even better.
Oh, there you go. That's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, even Nobody stole that. It was a little different, but it was his daughter's bracelet. It was basically that. He found out the guy had the guys that broke in took his daughter's bracelet, and it was like that's what snapped him. And the same as Wick and his dog, that snapped him. Like that's where we're at with these. They all have to have a snap. And I don't know if you did a new Transporters, he'd have to snap.
Well, he's either got to snap or he's got to be in the ditch, essentially drunken out, and then you have like one of the previous characters come in.
Let there be no doubt, if they had kidnapped Matthew Modine instead of the kid, there's no snap in this movie. There's no snap whatsoever. Frank just goes on about his life.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate this trope. And is it a trope? I don't know. I hate this story mechanic where it's like, okay, your entire plan is way more complicated than just going and killing the politicians that you wanted to kill. I mean, just blow up the place. You don't need to I mean, you didn't do it secretly. I mean, no. You kidnapped this guy's kid. He comes back, gives him the virus. I mean, everybody knows that you did.
Someone engineered a whole virus. It was 15 years ago. Like, think about how like crazy that is.
Those viruses were so stupid. Like the vials they were in, it was like space age bullshit.
Love that it's got to be green, purple. I love it.
Bright purple. And
I love it.
And like a light bulb shaped glass inside a metal.
It's too much. The virus was too. You don't need that amount. Yeah. First of all. Second of all, the antidote doesn't need to be a big ball of freaking, you know, magic mana. It's so dumb.
Yeah. For once, I saw something like that and said, yeah, I don't need to 3D print that prop.
No, nope.
That's not something I need to do. Yeah.
Brian, just drop it anyway.
Save the resin. Save the world. Yeah. I don't think you need to do it either.
There's a such thing as armored vials. Like in reality, that's a thing that you can.
All right.
A lot of them are just like really tough glass.
It's all it needs to be.
Yeah.
A coat of armor
plus,
on the vial.
Plus, fat like, lot of good it did him. It broke anyway. So, you know.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
That's horseshit.
The little stick goes between the armor. And
what's now? Okay. One trope we haven't talked about is this guy. The Jamaican taxi driver.
I love that guy.
He's the he's
making
like
me crazy.
He's the guy he's basically the same dude from In Speed. He's not the same actor, but the same guy in Speed and a million other movies where. Guy just doing his job, driving his car, not part of this problem, is now sucked in and is now part of the plot, at least to some degree. I don't know what that's called, but everybody does it. They all need to stop doing that. It's dumb.
I think it would be great if we rebooted the transporter. And so this Jamaican me crazy guy finally got off the pot and he straightened his life out and he comes back and he finds the transporter and he fixes everything and he pulls him out of the ditch. And it's that's how you go forward.
All right. On TV tropes, it's
you
called.
You saved me.
On TV tropes, this trope is called "Welcome to the Caribbean, Mon."
Yeah,
it has a bunch of keys that all got hit in this movie. Like if somebody smashed down on the piano, all the keys of this thing. Mm-hmm. Like whenever you see this guy, there's like calypso or rumba music playing somewhere. He is kind of questionably maybe high at all times.
Yeah. Oh, he is definitely. Unquestionably high.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, like he's totally okay with breaking the law suddenly. Like no problem. This guy this guy will go along with breaking the law.
Yeah.
He literally steals a Porsche in this movie. Just like cuz he's from the Caribbean.
Yeah, he's from the Caribbean.
That makes it okay.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He's loaded on pot and weed, which is the same thing. And you know, what are you going to do when you got both pot and weed? You're going to be high and you're going to make bad choices.
Do what you do, man.
Yeah, bad life choices. That's what you make. But anyway, he kind of cracked me up. Now, here's the deal. I'm going to play this.
You waxed your anus.
Gross.
Now, we all know, we knew the second we saw it. It's what grossed me out. It's you can't lick anyone up the side of the face and expect me to be okay with it ever.
Yeah. Even I went, oh, okay. Oh, that's too far.
Right. And I was thinking, all right, well, she's just going to stop at the cheek. No. Oh, okay. She's going to stop at the. She's still going. Oh, stop the other side of the face. Wow. Yeah. Okay.
All the way up his eye.
I think when she got up to his eye, that's when it bothered me.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's like a really dangerous spot.
You don't want to get pink eye from freaking nasty lady. Plus, he kind of flinched, and I think that was real. Yeah. I would have flinched.
Yeah. How many licks does it take to get to the center of the Jason Statham?
Oh my God. You may have gotten one of my titles. But here's the thing. Somebody on Twitter immediately puts a post up and says, first of all, I know what's gross Scott out and I know what word he's going to use. And he says, I expect a foul this weekend. Yeah, you're right. It was foul. Yeah. It was freaking foul.
It was very foul.
I forgot your name, dude, but whoever you are, it was foul.
Nailed it.
It was really bad. Anyway, now that is out of the way. We don't have to think about
it
anymore.
I'm glad it's out of the way. You gotta admit, though. If you were an actor, Scott, and you know, someone came along and said, look, I'm going to have another actor lick your face in this scene.
Yeah.
Kate Nauda.
No,
it's gotta be way up there.
Okay. let me.
All right. Emily Blunt has to lick your face, your entire face in a scene.
I'd feel bad for her.
I'm not down with anybody. There's no human form.
Don't you know her?
Maybe okay.
Don't you know, like,
face licking.
Like Jason Statham personally put all the Altoids into Kate Nauda's mouth right before that scene, right?
I mean,
like,
it doesn't even matter. It's not even about that. I just don't think
I feel like it would just sizzle then when she touched his face with the Altoid.
Altoid right in your eye.
But, but no person in any circumstance or quantifiable situation should lick each other up the face like that. It just shouldn't. Yeah. I mean, out in do what you want in your bedroom. I don't give a crap. But like, if you're in a car, like, we get that you're a psycho, but I just couldn't do it, dude. I don't care how good looking they are. That is not the
Johnson on this point.
I'd almost rather have like freaking Jabba the Hutt lick me upside the face, because at least the ugly matches the act, you know?
Right.
Like, when a good-looking lady does it, it's like, oh, this is so much quicker. Worse.
I mean, like, if Jabba licks you, it's just like over almost instantaneously, right?
Yeah.
Whereas this lady goes on forever. You have to wait for it.
Yeah, exactly right. So anyway, I really was like, because up till that point, I even had a sound that was the gross thing to me. let me find it for you here real quick. It is, it was her hand down the window right before she licked his face. I captured this. And that was going to be my gross thing, because I hate the sound. I hate the idea. Sure. Freaking greasy shooter hand on the wall, on the window, all that. And then she gets in the car and proceeds to lick him. I'm like, why did I even bother capturing that freaking hand?
Yeah, that was what a waste.
And then I thought, well, is it going to get worse? Yeah. Am I going to see something that's going to gross me out worse? Nope, nothing ever got as gross. So there you go.
Yeah, it was as bad as it got.
Yeah, that was as good and as bad.
Yeah.
As
you
got.
Win. You win, movie.
Yeah, you got me. What are you going to do? Oh, gosh, what else? Do we have anything else to say about this movie before we do clips?
Going through my list. We didn't talk about the parking garage jump too much, because it was not the craziest.
Yeah, but when he slid through there, when he slid
the flip over,
when he slid through there and was hitting all those posts, that ding 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 ding, I really like that.
Yeah. Oh, that I like too. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
The rooftop, driving across the rooftop straddles, and the drunk taking a drink, licking his bottle, like that trope of the I got to get off of this stuff. I just saw a car drive over above me.
I hate that. That happens. Let me think here for a second. I think that's in every movie ever made.
Yeah.
It sure feels like it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so bad.
Go ahead.
Oh, and then I wrote down, none of that is how planes work when they're having their final fight.
Oh, my God.
Final fight on the plane.
No.
Yeah.
And the plane is spinning around like it's in a pinball machine, yet they don't seem to have any effect on the two people fighting inside.
No one would ever die in plane crashes if this is how plane crashes worked. No, that's not. Right. Yes. Yep. Not even close.
Especially the water.
So Lionel Richie dancing on the ceiling moment.
Yeah. You can't
just fly a plane into the ocean and not crush everybody inside?
Turns out all you have to do is jump the other direction, and then you counteract.
It's like an elevator. You just falling. No, just jump. You're fine.
Just jump at the last second. Oh, I survived.
Yeah. Do you think anyone's ever tried that? Like, I hate to. That's maybe a little morbid, but
No, I definitely know somebody has tried it. Oh, people have definitely tried it. It would be absolutely my last attempt.
Right?
Why wouldn't you? What have you got to lose?
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Oh, that didn't work.
But it will never. It's never going to work. But they're going to try. Right. I would try.
You gotta try.
Until you realize there's no way you can do that, because if you're falling that fast, you're probably not even touching the bottom of the
This would be the part of the show where Tom Merritt checks out, because
your velocity is still moving at the same speed whether or not you jump up in the air or not.
Right.
Yeah, you don't suddenly counter all the velocity you currently have.
Yes. I did it.
Look, we're not physics professors, but we know enough. Okay, everybody.
Right.
One last thing before clips. I really liked that first scene, like, because it's just so, it feels so endemic to the movie. It sets you up, gets you going just right. He is the same character he was in the first movie, and he's moved countries. And even here in the middle of the afternoon on a school day, sitting in his car in a parking garage somewhere, which, why would you do that? I don't know. But you're sitting at, he still gets mugged. Like, it's just wow, this guy is a mugger magnet. I love that. Oh, I love it. Love it. Love
why,
it.
They never really got into why that, why was he up there?
Except there's no reason for it. That's the thing.
He's got to stay. He did it on purpose, like, but he has to stay sharp because he's transporting this kid. I think he did it on purpose.
So you think he's training up there? He's got a little spare minute, and he's like, you know what? I'm going to go get mugged by some bad teenagers and a few thugs.
You got to stay sharp. Yeah.
Okay. And then.
In no way does that girl hang out with them. Anyway, but that's okay. Most of these ladies wouldn't hang out with most of these guys anyway, so whatever.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, that was so good. But also, I felt like I was watching the first movie again, because isn't that whole thing start with him in a parking garage in a car?
That's the fake out, right? That's the distraction. It's like, oh, look, he's doing the same thing again. Just kidding. He's picking up kids from school. It's not a bank robbery at all.
Yeah. Yeah. And in this case, this is almost semi-retired for him. He's going to make his money just being a driver for people
driver.
Yeah.
Right.
He's a chauffeur now.
Well, who is Tony? And did Tony set him up? And I want to know.
I don't know who Tony is. Who's Tony?
Of course not, because we never meet Tony, but we talk about Tony. Tony's one of those offstage characters. It's like Tony's out of town, and I'm just filling in for Tony. Did Tony set this whole thing up?
What is Tony's Tony, doing? Oh,
see,
right.
That would be great, right? Like, I'm out of town. I can totally get some money out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what? We'll give Tony this.
Grab a bucket.
He's a chick in the bucket.
Yeah, he's the bucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a chick in a foreign vacation bucket.
Yeah.
I wanted Tony to show up at the end, like, looking around going, huh, what? What?
I had somebody earlier this week.
Hey, everybody, what I missed?
I got an email. I got an email directly sometime earlier this week where the guy said, "What is chicken bucket? Why do you guys keep talking about chicken bucket?
Chicken bucket.
Sometimes we have to explain these memes because people are new or whatever. But I don't want to do it now. But anyway, he's the chick in the bucket.
Let's go back and watch Wild Wild West.
Yeah, episode. Go watch listen to our Wild Wild West episode. You will see the origins of all things chick in the bucket, not chicken bucket.
It could be chick in bucket,
but it's not chicken bucket. Although I could go for a bucket of chicken if I'm being honest.
Mm-hmm.
All right. It is time for clips. Let's dive into these. We got a handful. There's not a ton of dialogue in this movie. This is teaching kids some wisdom, I guess. Here you go, the top of the movie there.
Respect a man's car, a man respects you.
Respect a man's car,
respect a man's
car. It's a moon, stupid.
I know.
All right.
What has four legs, smells like a pig, it has a curly tail, and is pink and is a pig? What is it?
What is it?
It's a pig, you dumbass.
I gotta say, I enjoyed that. I really enjoyed the guessing game, riddles. Like, I thought it was
good. It humanized him in a way we haven't seen even in the first movie, I think. So it was nice. But still, the kid was annoying.
Respect the man.
All right. Here's go back to the 80s, man.
Audrey, I'd like to finish our conversation.
Wait, I don't get it. Why did I say go back to the 80s, man?
Audrey.
Oh, because it's Matthew Modine.
He's big in the 80s.
Yeah, that's all I ever think of is him in the 80s and doing all the 80s things.
Oh, wait till you see seasons 2, 3, and 4 of Stranger Things. Oh. Or at least 3 and 4.
All right. Should I skip two then? Is that you telling me? Get rid of two?
Lots of Modine.
All right. I love this. This is an answer to what morning after pill did you want, sir?
Yes, Plan B.
Plan B? Oh, the Plan B. Okay. We have those. Let's see.
Is Plan A not having sex? Is that like what Plan A was?
It's always Plan A.
The name of the Plan B pill. Well, all right, that failed. What about Plan B?
I think Plan A is like a reference to, well, condom didn't work and you didn't do other.
Plan A is the rhythm method.
Yeah. Or other
pull
various.
Pull and pray.
Yeah, pull and
plan
pray.
A.
Yeah. Sure. If that didn't work, get Plan B going. All right, we didn't even talk about Keith David's in this.
With no hole in the head.
Kind of barely in this, but 2 weeks in a row, Keith David didn't plan on that. Anyway, here he is.
He's ex-Special Forces. Head in an elite commando unit for 5 years, specialized in search and destroy. Been in and out of Lebanon, Syria, Sudan. The man is a hunter.
It's really hard to take seriously because of his... He's just
Keith
David.
But that's the man. If you need that role, Phil.
He's so cool. Yeah.
I mean, I love him.
I didn't understand why they'd had 15 kids kidnapped over the past year and they didn't follow up with that. We just had, and they're all dead.
More.
We saved them.
Yeah. We still don't know where they are. What's going on? What's going on, Keith David, with the hole in your head? All right, here's this one. Something about you promised. I don't know what this is. Oh, yeah, it's the kid screaming.
Frank, you promised you wouldn't leave, but you hurt me. You promised.
This was his first movie, that kid, by the way. First film.
And last movie.
No, really?
Was it his last? Let's see.
So what was he doing before then? Going to kindergarten?
Hunter Clary is his name. He's done a bunch of stuff since. Not a ton of things you'd know. Oh, he's a sketch actor for Kimmel.
Oh, really? Wow.
Weird. Hold on a second. How old? Doesn't say when he was born. Meet the Spartans. Snow Wonder, whatever the hell that was. It's the photo of him is still the same age as he was in this movie. So I don't know.
Yeah, he's.
So you're saying this is the end of the career?
Is this like this is the thing known for? Like at the very top of his IMDb?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, and 2010 was the last thing he did as a voice in this Snowman thing. So he's not doing anything. I hope he's all right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing at all. I always think I always worry about these kids. I'm happy when they're out. Get them out.
But he is the older brother of Kayla Clary.
I don't know who that is.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, also,
that's on the IMDb. Also,
I like that you said I go, I don't know who that is. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, also stopped acting in 2009.
Oh, yeah, she also stopped. Also did something on Kimmel.
Oh, and her trivia says younger sister of Hunter Clary. There you go.
Okay. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. Okay.
Automatic. Let's just use each other as bio filler.
Yeah.
Right. There you go.
I really am like fine when the kids get out of Hollywood. Get out of
there. I am too. Actually, I'm like, good job.
Good job. You made it. Go do something else. This place sucks. Yeah. Except we like to do a show about them. All right. Sure. Let's see. Oh, okay. Here's one. The best punch sound in a while, actually, because of this sound the guy made. This is during the fight where the boat fell on him.
Coconuts? Okay.
Here you go.
Oh, the boat.
Yeah. That. Isn't that great? That sound he made.
That's realistic.
Is it?
Yeah.
That's realistic. That is the sound you actually make to the when gut. You get punched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Loss of air.
It also sounds a little bit like the Foley artist was squeezing a rubber chicken.
A little bit.
Or a real chicken, actually.
Yeah. Or maybe he was squeezing a real chicken. Or a Hispanic person. Or anyone. All right. Brian knows what I'm doing. Let's see. Here's a great... Oh, this guy is great, I wrote.
I need antidote. The driver...
He injected me with virus. I need antidote.
Am I doing convincing Russian accents?
He's good. He's good. Yes.
He's great. Freaking love that guy. Jamaican guy.
Don't worry, baby. You're safe now. You're safe. You're so beautiful. Remind me of my yellow poom poom rider.
Well, yellow poom poom rider.
Poom poom rider.
What's poom poom rider?
Yeah, what's a poom poom rider?
That's what he had. That's what he had before he got the upgrade.
Rider, I'm gonna look this up.
I just want that guy to break character and like revert to his normal like Alabama accent.
Right? Are you guys shitting me? Like, no one would ever say this.
Oh,
that's what I want. That.
Yeah. I look up Poom Poom Rider and it's like some kind of Japanese robot man.
Huh?
Yeah, that too.
I don't know what to make of that. All right, well, still a mystery. Someone will write in and tell us. That'll be great. We'll love to hear from people about what a Poom Poom Rider is. Okay, I'm the antidote.
I am the antidote.
I like that he laughs.
That laugh. I made myself laugh.
It's very funny. Yes. All right, here we are. Oh, this is a great time. 2022 is a great time for this line.
I'm sorry to inform you that you have been canceled.
You have been canceled.
Ooh. Mr. Bond.
Ooh. Yes.
Got to put Mr. Bond on the end of
that. Oh, he's a very Bondy villain.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
He would have been better, though. My favorite Bond villains were always... they had something weird with them. Like there's something wrong or they got webbed feet or they're, you know, they got like a one eye or they're on the wheelchair, whatever it is. They all had their thing. And I don't like how the more modern Bonds kind of got rid of that. They just became men. But then I like Casino Royale because Mads Mikkelsen's nose won't stop bleeding or his eye won't stop bleeding.
His eye. Yeah.
Right. See, that's cool. That's like a throwback. I like that.
And then I think the actor should have kept his name because it's perfect for this movie. His last name is Gasman. Gasman.
Yeah. Gasman.
That fits perfectly.
Yeah.
It is.
Keep it. Yeah.
This final clip will sum up the whole movie. Enjoy.
A potato.
Yeah, a potato.
A potato.
So the movie's called the...
Sorry, go ahead. What?
It's a transporter movie for sure. He is the transporter.
Yeah.
There really wasn't a lot of transporting in this movie. There was there were a couple of scenes where he needed to transport something.
Right.
But there wasn't much.
Rarely was he transporting.
Like, yeah. Later in the movie, and again, it's a very short movie, but later in the movie, he jumps into a Lamborghini Murcielago.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, this is going to be awesome. No, it's just driving. He's driving on a bridge. He's going fast.
You know what's not exciting? I mean, as much as cool as it is with the Lamborghini to have the paddles on the steering wheel, It's very exciting to watch somebody change gears.
With shift. Yeah. Click, 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 click.
No. Yeah. That thing really didn't do much for the emasculating of men or women driving cars trying to look like a badass when it's just a little clip, like, lame.
But like that, that was like, I was like, man, if they could have come up with a reason for him to be transporting something in that moment, you know what I mean? Like to actually be doing his job as the title role. You know, instead of, he's just chasing somebody in a helicopter. Really?
They should have called it Transporter : Chauffeur Edition.
He was transporting that, that his backup suit he keeps in a plastic bag. That's what he was transporting.
He did always seem to have a nice,
I do like that.
Suit. Yeah. That's
a good touch to explain why he's no longer ripped up and covered in blood.
I'm telling you, give me a Wick-esque version of Transporter today. I'd be back into your franchise. Mm-hmm. Do it. Make it happen. Make it gritty. Make it rated R. Bloody. Lots of stabbing, shooting. Yeah. You know, the good stuff. All right. Look what we got here. It's this checklist. The Film Sack checklist this week. This is objectively better than the first. Thank you very much. Yes, check. First one's bad. Should have gone rated R. Check. And finally, he better be able to fly and stop trains in 3. Check.
Oh, yeah.
Because he just got really super powery in this one.
Keeps escalating.
Really, pretty much.
Maybe it'll go back to its roots. Don't you love it when that happens?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
It gets real simple, and he's doing all his transporting in a Ford Escort.
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be awesome. A little Fiat.
Yep.
Yeah. Chevette.
Yep. Yeah. It'll be Pabst Blue Ribbon instead of Heineken, and you know.
And maybe they'll actually place it in Canada this time. Maybe that'll just where we filmed it at and where we are.
Yeah.
Why do you keep saying that? There was no Canada in this movie.
Wasn't there?
The first one filmed in Canada?
I think it was.
Isn't that what we talked about being French and everything?
I think so. Didn't
French
we?
Canadian? Isn't that what we said?
I think the first one.
And then
maybe.
Was it part of this filmed in Canada as well?
No, there was no Canada in part two. I don't remember. I'm looking up part one.
You're right.
Oh, was this almost called The Mission?
Then I stand corrected.
Dunaway, this thing
don't offend. Don't offend Randy and his Canadian heritage.
I just, go ahead. I think it's
what are you saying?
This image you put in here, this looks like the second movie. Did they almost call it The Mission?
I'm assuming so. It was called, this is what it looks like. So that's why I was trying to figure out why it was Transporter. And I guess they were like, oh, it's a mission this time.
Transporter 2, The Nocturnal Mission.
a truly emotional ride through the life of Dude Man. All right. Well done, everybody. Let's do some Star Trek connections. Probably got to be one. Didn't Modine
just
do
one,
something?
Just one. And I mean, go deep, go all the way through the tiny little parts, you know, and roles and stuff. The only one. It's an actor named Jeff Chase. Oh. Jeff Chase played Vasily in this movie.
Uh-huh.
Vasily?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is that one of the idea? Russian scientists? Russian scientist, maybe?
Probably.
I don't know. Not a major role.
Okay.
And this person was also in two Star Trek movies, the J.J. Abrams lens flare movie.
Mm. No.
The first J.J. Abrams Star Trek movie, he played a role called Cadet Alien.
Oh.
Hmm.
All right.
I'm not kidding. The role is called Cadet Alien.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And then he was also into Star Trek Into Darkness, different role.
Oh.
Oh.
His role was called USS Enterprise Security.
Oh, weird.
Oh.
Jeff Chase.
Check him out
real quick. The just for clarity, the first Transporter was filmed entirely in France.
Yes, I've linked this. Oh. Both. I linked this both to you guys.
Oh, I didn't see the link.
Oh, Jeff Chase was the other. He was the guy, one of the ones that was pretending to be the doctor, right? Jeff Chase.
Oh, the bigger doctor.
Yeah, the bigger guy. The one to come out with the actual doctor's.
Yeah, which should have been enough for him to not let that kid go in that room. What the hell?
Yeah. He was on the phone.
That's Cadet Alien, by the way, the photo I just put in there. I was looking to see if I could see who he was in, like, playing in this. But
That's good makeup. I like that.
So Lola comes in to the doctor's office, and we get a funny shot of the two henchmen behind her. One is Dimitri, the guy with the middle finger.
Right.
The other one is Jeff Chase, this guy.
That's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he has two things. I have questions about this. He has a little green booger on his nose there. And also I can see his nipples through that Starfleet getup.
Yeah. That's the reason why. It's not good.
So I don't know what's going on there. I don't know if that green ball.
That's
on
why
his
they
nose.
Added lens flare.
Yeah. I guess so.
Is it all coming from his nipples?
Lens flare from his nipples. Ew.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Horrendous. Right. All right.
That's not a green booger either. That's more lens flare.
Is the what it looks like is probably maybe they animated part of it and they had the green screen.
Yeah, maybe it's a reference point or something for the filmers.
They do some kind of CG later on or something.
He was also in The Rundown with The Rock, and I'm going to show you a photo.
Yeah.
Was he?
And you're going to forget about the green booger coming out of his nose in that Cadet Alien photo.
Okay.
Yeah, Google Cadet Alien if you want to see the picture.
Oh my gosh, now he's got a real booger, one, a bloody one.
Like a bloody nose. But it's like, "Oh, dude, The Rock, I'm such a big fan. Can we take a photo real quick?" Yeah.
He must have been makeup for the fight or something.
I think so. Probably. Yeah, he was like a fight scene with The Rock.
But he's not just a big 11 guy who just bleeds when he knows there's like stuff around.
He's been using his ability. Yeah.
It's another trope I love.
Papa.
It's people that use their brain powers always get bloody noses. I love it.
As we speak right now, San Diego Comic-Con's going on, bunch of people spreading COVID as we speak.
Yeah, big time.
And what I love about nowadays, I love about the modern years that we live in, is that you don't have to go spread COVID at San Diego Comic-Con. You can just watch a billion hours of videos from San Diego Comic-Con. Like, it's all there. And I sometimes stop and think, man, how cool would it be if there had been as much video recording at like 2008 or 2005 San Diego Comic-Con. Like, I would love to be able to go back and see all that cool
some of that stuff. Those were cool.
It's going down a real rabbit hole, by the way. I don't know if we'll be able to recover
all the photos of him in all of his different action movies where he's got photos of him bloody with Sylvester Stallone now.
And look how happy Stallone is in there. He's
really
stoked.
Is yeah
what's that movie
I get him good
What's the movie?
Real good.
Is that Expendables or something? Or what is that?
I don't know.
Like Expendables or like maybe one of the later, I don't know, Rambo movies?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Somebody sent me that old Stallone.
His photo library is great because it's a lot of photos that look like he's at Comic-Con. He's taking a picture with, with the actors. Like, here's one with him and Statham.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, can we take a break from shooting? Can I just take a picture with you as a little, friendly?
Look Can I just show everybody how much bigger than I am, everybody?
Oh,
else.
My gosh. He's enormous.
He compared to Statham.
That's crazy.
Yeah. By the way, we're still talking about Chase.
Is Statham a little
Jeff
short
Chase
guy?
Jeff Chase.
How tall is Statham?
Statham's average height, I think 5'11", right? So, I mean, yeah, he's going to look short compared to this guy.
What a little Wolverine he is. I thought he was taller than that. Because swimmers are usually taller. It's crazy. Anyway.
So this is our seventh Jason Statham movie and also our seventh Keith David movie, as we've spoken. But there's there's another actor in this movie that is in our seventh Film Sack movie. It's Mark McCauley, and he plays U.S. Marshal Brown in this movie. He gets to come yell at the grieving couple.
Yeah.
Mark McCauley or stare at them. He kind of stares at them.
Yeah.
He's the white guy next to Keith David, basically.
Okay. Oh, that guy.
And we've seen him seven times and they all seem to have this in common. We've seen him we've seen him in Miami Vice and The Punisher and Wild Things and Too Fast, Too Furious. They're all Southern Florida movies. This guy, like, he makes movies in Southern Florida.
Yeah. Maybe that's his deal. He's like, I'll do it, but only if it's in Southern Florida.
That's right. That may be it.
At Disney World.
By the way, just to warn you guys, cause I don't think it's on our list anyway. On my queue, it looks like it's almost up. It's time to watch The Wrath of Man, the Guy Ritchie recent Statham thing. Which I'm going to watch. Not for film,
Zach,
for me. That's right. I really want to see it. It was reviewed well.
It is streaming for free, but I don't know if we want to sack it.
Well, it's on Prime, Paramount. Yeah. I mean, not that we need to sack it. I'm just saying it's on. I have this list of things that either people recommend or that I want to watch, and this is like two movies away, so I think I'm going to find
it. You've said repeatedly you'll watch anything with Holt McCallany in it. So
I love him, dude. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know he was in
Tench.
This. He plays somebody called Bullet. Oh.
That was a Film Sack moment just now.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Nailed it. Okay, well, let everyone know how that is. Maybe that'll be my one. I'll do when my month comes up. I'll do that one. I don't know.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Coming up on that too. We got a Brian.
Yeah, I've got mine coming up this week.
Nice. Hit
me next.
Nice. All right. Let's move past these connections and go with the soundtrack grade of Salt, SALT, which is for same as the last time.
Oh, no, I thought it was better. Last time was more, you know, a little more funky.
It felt the same.
I like the funky. I miss the funky. I wanted
more.
I miss the funk. Ding, 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 ding.
That was really weird.
I was waiting for that.
That was weird. It's a weird thing they did, and they didn't do it here.
Yeah, I like this one a little bit better, actually.
Well, good. All right, here's this.
It felt very similar to me.
Go ahead, Randy. What? Similar to what?
It felt very similar to me. This is Alexandra Azaria, and we're going to... gonna hear more when we sack Transporter 3.
That's right. Woo-hoo. He was around for all of it, I think.
Yep. And right. Four. He
yeah, also and did four. So look at this little piece of paper. This has alternate titles on it. It was almost called Don't Ask About the Sixth Rule. Ooh, I don't want to know what it is. What's the sixth rule? Yeah. Something about potatoes.
He's got rules. I don't remember the fifth rule. What was the fifth rule?
Yeah. And then I don't know why I wrote this as a title. I think I effed up, put it in the wrong place. It says, Who You Kill the Co-Pilot?
Why you kill the co-pilot? Now we're not going to be able to live.
I think I meant why, and I put who. I don't know what I was writing there. That was I was tired last night. I can tell you that.
Oh, who killed the co-pilot? Really? Maybe, or I don't know.
Who knows what I did? I feel bad for that co-pilot because I think they were just being pilots. Maybe they were in on it.
Yeah, they were just being pilots.
But he broke
what
his
we
neck.
Doing? We're just being pilots?
Like, he hardly killed
okay,
anyone.
Okay,
he
no, usually... you've got a good point. You've got a good point. So Jason Statham magically gets onto the plane.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're going to skip over the fact that you couldn't possibly do this. But He magically gets onto the plane. The co-pilot is like, I'm going to go check that landing gear. And then Jason Statham, I guess... knocked out or kicked him off the plane or what?
No, he choked him out. He broke his neck.
Did something terrible to the co-pilot for no reason.
Yeah.
It is a bad idea.
Everybody else he knocks out and shoves to the side the best he can. He has to kill sometimes. But that one, he's just like, nope, here you go. Broke his neck, threw him into the pit. Right.
And so then you need that co-pilot desperately in just a minute. And he's not around. You did a stupid thing.
Yeah, and the pilot kind of went to chicken a bucket town a little bit.
Yeah,
we really saw him again.
We got shot.
Right. He got shot. That's right.
Yeah. Chicken a cockpit. Dead chicken in a cockpit.
Very well put. Hey, everybody. If you wanted to email us, you could do it at filmsack@gmail.com. And we got a couple of people who did. For example, Shay wrote in and says, Hi, Brian, Brought, and Brandy.
Brought.
I've suggested it before because it's pure FilmSack gold, but especially given recent events in the USA, I would really like to highly once again recommend 1993's Fortress, starring Christopher Lambert.
Oh, we still have not watched that.
Love the show though, Shay. No, it's been on and off the list forever, I think. It just keeps getting dropped.
I do love that movie, though.
Yeah.
I feel like we have recently discussed that he calls himself Chris Lambert. I think.
Oh, did we?
Oh, that it's not Lambert?
I thought it was Lambert.
I don't know, man.
All right.
I call you what I want.
I don't want a dead name Christopher Lambert. Lambert. Yeah.
Fortress is one of those movies that is so far from streaming. Like, it's one of those things that's like, no one ever gets this movie.
Isn't there one that's called, it's like a remake with Bruce Willis?
Except
a recent?
For Tubi and Crackle.
Oh, yeah, Tubi and Crackle.
They have it right now. Just saying.
Tubi has it?
Yeah, Tubi and Crackle have it. Yes.
I don't know if you can say Tubi and Crackle like those are like services. That, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. There's something I don't feel like services that actually contract with people who own the rights to movies.
They have to though. Crackle is owned by Sony,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, they're big. Those are both big, big, and they're
Tubi
and they're
is owned
big
by.
Part of the reason everyone thinks Netflix is adding an ad tier because of others doing that are in their same sphere, but they're really doing it because Tubi and Freevee and all these other channels with commercial supported stuff are getting all the ad revenue. Like, you know, they all want a piece of that pie. So, there's nothing wrong with I don't like ads, but Tubi's fine.
If you're gonna, if you're gonna go watch Fortress and you go to Tubi, I just don't be surprised if it's in 480i.
You know, I see what you mean.
Of course, that's DVD quality. So if it was never actually 480p, it was progressive, and it was never, of course, because what they got like some DVD transfers. I mean, what are you going to do? Go pick up the Fortress upscaled 4K? Doesn't exist. I'm sure.
What I'm saying is they'll tell you, like, you go there and it'll say this is in 4K, just like on Prime or anywhere else. They'll say if it's 4K or not. I get people's trepidation about ad services, and I think Dunaway's way too enamored with them, but I understand their place in the market. And they're also not as bad as cable. Cable's still the worst.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. Okay, so your options are something like, you know, either purchase it or watch it on like Comet or something. That's the TV channel. Don't watch it on Comet, even though I love the stuff they show on Comet. Unfortunately, all the ads are, you know, scare ads, which I hate and breaks my enjoyment of the film. Whereas stuff like on Tubi, it's all like ads for like progressive. And it's usually very short and quick. And
what are scare ads?
Scare ads like, you need to take this medicine or you will die.
Oh, gotcha. Oh,
mesothelioma. I'm a lawyer and you need to call us fast. You know, it's those scare ads. Scare old people.
I love the mesothelioma ads because I don't understand anything about any of it. I just see them and
There's also this crazy strain of scare ads for like gold.
Yeah.
Like, the economy is about to ruin your family. You need to buy gold right now.
Right now, old people. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to find those. Those mesothelioma ones crack me up. All right. Anyway, where were we? Oh, that's that email. Thank you, Shay. We will put that. It's always on the list. We want to do Fortress. We just got to find it. And maybe we will do Tubi. We'll see. Greg.
Before we get too far away from it, we have Twitter posts to do.
Oh, no, I didn't get the. Oh, did I not do Twitter posts? Oh, shit. I didn't.
We were so excited about emails that.
No, I mean, I went right from soundtrack grade to alternative titles. I skipped you guys entirely. I didn't mean to do that. All right, let's go back. Here it is. Sum it up in 280 characters or less before I do our second email. Let's start with Randy.
The Transporter 2, like The Empire Strikes Back or The Godfather 2, it builds on the brilliance of the original to quickly underline more complex themes that shift the viewer's attention from text to subtext. Just kidding, it's crap.
Yep.
There you go.
Fair enough.
I was waiting for the shoe to drop.
That's right.
There it was.
Hey, Dunaway, show us your shoe.
Hey, Scott, Transported 2. What is the point in having rules if you can't bend them? Was the question they should have asked before making this movie. # you promised you wouldn't hurt me.
Nicely done. Brian Ibbett.
The Transporter 2. Frank's back. And this time, eyes will roll.
Yeah,
they will.
I get it. It's like, our eyes.
Not heads will roll, but eyes will roll.
Yeah, and it's eyes us. It's our eyeballs.
That was very good, Ibbett. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good. Okay.
Thanks,
I liked
thanks
it a lot.
Thank you.
Yeah. That was really good.
Here's your pause.
Is he done?
Your pause told me everything that he needed to know.
Let's do this last email. Greg from, doesn't say, just says Greg. Greg says, hello, Scott, Brian, and big wad of aluminum as a microphone done away. Or I'm sorry, Randy. He doesn't like Randy's microphone. I don't know why. He thinks he's
said my microphone.
Yeah, he calls your microphone a big wad of aluminum. I don't know why.
Wow.
He doesn't get into it. I mean, I think you sound fine. That. I don't know what the deal is.
Right, follow up email required.
You sound great.
Test check. I don't know. Man.
You sound fine
to me.
Yeah, you sound fine.
Go ahead, aluminum. I couldn't hear you.
I don't know what he's talking about. Maybe he heard an old episode when you were traveling or something. Maybe. Who knows? But anyway, it says, okay, Sackers, I've heard this movie suggested a couple of times before to much less than dramatic fanfare than it deserves. Hawk the Slayer, the 1980 low-budget sword and sorcery pick has it all. It has people who are wobbly pointing a camera at each other. There are people who are waving swords, or as he wrote words, but he meant swords, and swinging swords. It has effects that some might deem as special. It says it has a synthy score. It has a young John Terry who is in Lost. And an old Jack Palance. He's old. No, he's actually dead.
Jack Palance has always been old. What are you talking about?
He doesn't know anything but old. Anyway, long time, first time. Keep up the great work, Greg. Hawk the Slayer. Why don't we do that?
Yeah. We've talked about that one before, too, I believe. And also something that's been on our list for a while.
Let's see.
I would love to watch Hawk the Slayer. Let me guess. Is it playing on Tubi?
It's on. No. Amazon. Oh, wait. That's the wrong movie. Hawk the Slayer. Here we go. Tubi.
Yeah. We need like a... We have like hot action movies, summer, and you know the holiday stuff. We probably need like a fantasy segment.
Tubi movie February. How about that?
Oh, there geez. You go. Tubi movie. Oh, I like that.
Tubuary.
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 Yeah. Freevee also has it.
Tubuary.
It looks like for
that's pretty good.
For a limited time, Plex has it without ads. It's just on there.
Yeah. I'll say that on Tubi so far, I've been scrubbing and watching Fortress, and I have yet to see a single ad. That's the reason why I like Tubi, because sometimes you don't even get ads, or if you do, they're very abbreviated.
Did you know that you can only see your beloved Ibbot's beloved Hudson Hawk on Fubo right now? It's the best.
Oh, I could just watch my special edition Blu-ray.
Oh, yeah. Well, slurp my butt then, I guess. Emails that we get here, filmsack@gmail.com. That's where these two came from, and yours could come from the very same place. So please get in there and do that. Want to take a second here and thank our patrons. Patreon.com/filmsack is the place to go. Like we hinted earlier, we got a brand new monthly special coming from Brian Ibbot this month. Yeah. This coming month, it'll be for August. And then after that, done away. And then we reset the clock and I do mine next. And, you know, we keep doing it that way. It'll be great. Yeah. But there are plenty of other reasons to join up, including bonus content every week that you only get this way. Always an ad-free experience. And... what was the other thing? That's it. That's all. There's more. Oh, you can get art in the mail.
Gratitude.
Yeah, art gratitude. Yeah. But you can also, there's a level where you get like movie art in the mail, which I gotta work on. Yeah. I think I'm going to do something die hardy. I can't decide. Anyway, collectible stuff that'll only ever be available to FilmSack folks. So go check it out. Patreon.com/FilmSack. And thanks everybody who is already a member.
Thank you so much.
You guys are awesome. All right. Moving on. Our next movie is Dr. No.
Yeah.
Dr. Yes.
No way.
Yeah, more like Dr. Yes. I've never seen Dr. No, so I have no idea what to expect here.
We're going back in time 60 years. Can you believe it? 60 years.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. Was it 66? No.
You can do math. Come on.
66%.
No, 1966, I'm saying, the year, right?
Would be 60 years ago, Scott?
Yeah. No. I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying, for those who would like to know what year that is, the year was 1966, is all I'm saying.
No, it wasn't.
Wasn't it?
No.
what year is it now?
60 years ago.
Hold on.
Yeah, that would be the 1960s. That would be the 1960s.
Oh, 1962. So
that'll give you a
62 years.
What the last number should be?
Yeah, 62 years. That makes sense.
Yeah. When I was a mere child on my very first episode of Extra Life Radio.
Yeah.
I just caught Scott in one of these and I said, Scott does math. And it just like forever. I just love those moments for like every time Scott does math. It just makes me so happy, Scott.
Yeah, everyone loves it when I do math. It's fantastic. Math is good. Let's see.
Math's good.
But I'm also glad you haven't seen this, Scott, because it's got Ursula Andress and it's got Jack Lord.
Famous photo that, you know, of Ursula Andress. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honey Rider.
That cover, man. Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
It's all colors. Who's this directed by? Terrence Young. Do we know that? That name sounds familiar. Maybe not.
I mean, he directed a 007 movies. Other than 007 movies.
Why does that sound so familiar? I don't know.
I can't think of anything. Like he.
Because you've seen a million 007 movies.
Yeah, this is kind of the getting to the end of his career as a director. Like he. Mm-hmm. He finishes with like seven Sean Connery 007 movies.
Yeah, he did. He did direct No Time to Die though.
No Time to Die.
The 1958 war movie called No Time to Die.
Oh, gotcha. But he did From Russia with Love, Thunderball, all that, right? He did all those.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well,
just those three actually.
I've mixed him with somebody else.
Any other Bond movies?
Who's Terrence Mann? Maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
Terrence Mann.
What's his power? Hold on, let me look it up.
Terrence Mann sounds like an ancient skeleton that was found in Terrence, California.
Oh, is that Torrance?
Why do I know this? This guy's been in all the Critters movies. Why do I know Terrence Mann at all? All right. Well, whatever, Terrence Mann. Good luck to you. So that's next week. Be here for that. In the meantime, filmsack.com is our website. Once again, patreon.com/filmsack. And if you want to leave us those emails, filmsack@gmail.com. That'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
I think it's time for Plan B.
We'll see you next time.
Yeah. Thought complete. Yeah.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.